You're listening to All Marine Radio, broadcasting from Costa Mesa, California, on the All Warrior Radio Network. Did a lot of video work over the weekend.
Yep. A lot.
Too much, probably. But I kind of get addicted to stuff like that. So I got the first draft of the post-traumatic winning presentation done. I'm going through and policing up loose ends in the segments. The segments are about 1 hour apiece. There's five of them, so the whole thing's 5 hours. Which is good to know. I didn't really know how long it is, and so I got to police up this version. And then there's a version that I have that I do for individuals. So most of the time I'm doing it for a group, but I have done it for individuals. I did it, you know, up in Montana. How does this apply to you as an individual, since you're out of the Marine Corps now? And so there's a version of that that I'll create. And so if you're an individual, like 1 hour morph from that to this. So I got to do that. And then what I have to do is I have to shoot myself doing it and then somehow or other find a way to migrate between the video of me with the slide and kind of like, what, over my shoulder or something like that? Or next to me? I don't know. I don't know the choreography of it. But or me in the picture and you switch like what's big, right? So anyway, so I got to figure that out. So... So I was doing that over the weekend. And then I saw a story on Friday that the lawyer for the cop in Minneapolis filed a motion to dismiss. So, and then somebody sent me a text about it and said, "Did you see that?" And I said, well, I mean, I saw the headline. I didn't look into it. I was kind of busy. And so I took a look at it. So, and as I was taking a look at it, I saw, when I did a search, I saw an article. There's two articles. One is entitled, and they're from a website called lawofficer.com. And the article says, "The Acquittal of Derek Chauvin," and has a picture of him. And obviously, it's being written by a former law enforcement officer. And I want to share with you because, you know, to me, the truth is important, right? And so, I, like everybody else, saw that and, you know, pretty disgusted. And how do you do that? So, I just want to share with you something that has made me rethink. Has made me rethink that. And I'll include both links that we'll talk about here. And then I want to take this. And I want to. We've talked about, and Alex Hollings is coming on today, but I talk about this subject with him on a regular basis, and that is, what do you do when the media doesn't want to tell the truth? what do you do when they're not interested in a story? What do you do? And what is the impact of that on the country? And I think this is a terrible example. And I think that there's bad days ahead of the country here. And not, you know, in the next year, this stuff's going to get worse. Because you have leaders of cities that allow this stuff to go on. These riots to go on a nightly basis. So anyway, let me share with you. Now, this is from the article. From the beginning, the George Floyd case, from the beginning of the George Floyd case, we have been pointing out several problems with the criminal charge. While we have been accused of everything, including justifying the death of Floyd to flat out being racist, it seems for weeks that we were the only media outlet willing to factually look at the facts in the case. While the rest of the world was looting, burning, and screaming in the name of racism, we told our audience some extremely important items that appeared to be an issue. From the very real issue of excited delirium to the approved neck technique used by Chauvin and to the odd disappearance of the body camera footage, which would be the only video footage showing the initial encounter all the way to the end. None of what we said seemed to matter. Emotion and hate ruled, and to this day, not one piece of evidence has ever emerged that makes this a racism case. We even pointed out the case of Tony Timpa, an incident which appears to be much worse that few have even heard of. We don't expect politicians and activists to have any sense of moral intentions when it comes to communicating a message that we remember, but we remember a time that the media would pursue the facts and tell the story rather than constantly stoking the flames of hate and violence. For weeks, that is all we have seen, and the damage done has been tremendous. Everyone, it seems, was a target, including Major Travis Yates, who took hits from hundreds of media outlets for discussing data and research debunking the systemic racism in law enforcement. Then there were the firing of officers throughout the country within hours of events. After all of that, we finally have a news outlet that joins us in the inherent problems in the Minneapolis case. In an article entitled "Why Derek Chauvin May Get Off His Murder Charge," a website known as Medium reports several issues that we reported in the first week of the incident, citing six crucial pieces of information that have been omitted from the discussion. They state that they will likely exonerate the officer of a murder charge. We agree, and that is the true tragedy of what the media and politicians have done in this case. By leaving out this vital information, they have not only given the public a false hope of conviction, but have turned the entire profession on its head. Medium says that, quote, the evidence points to the MPD, Minneapolis Police Department, and the local political establishment rather than the individual officer as ultimately responsible for George Floyd's death. A point we specifically made when we wrote "The Mayor Knew" after his emotionally charged news conference the day after the incident. Now, I'll get to the article entitled "The Mayor Knew" here in a few minutes. But again, I've gone through the database the last couple of years of all the, and when you see the facts presented in each one of these cases, right? What do I say? You can see why police acted the way they did in virtually 98% of the cases. The article goes on. These omissions and facts are detailed below, and frankly, we give Medium credit for actually reporting it. They will soon join Law Officer as a racist news outlet for telling the truth. Number one, George Floyd was experiencing cardiopulmonary and physiological distress, and psychological distress minutes before he was placed on the ground, and well before he had a knee to his neck. Two, the Minneapolis Police Department allowed the use of neck restraints on suspects who actively resist arrest, and George Floyd actively resisted on two occasions, including immediately prior to the neck restraint being used. That's an important point. The officers were recorded on their body cameras recognizing George Floyd was suffering from excited delirium, a condition which the department considers an extreme threat to both officers and the suspect. A white paper used by the department acknowledges that excited delirium suspects may die regardless of the force involved, and there are only a few options for the officers to help protect the suspect's condition, including restraining the suspect and call for paramedics. That is exactly what they were doing. Restraining the suspect on his or her abdomen, prone restraint, is a common tactic in the excited delirium solutions. I'm sorry, situations. For some reason, I'm struggling to read. And the white paper used by the agency instructs the officers to control the suspect until paramedics arrive. That is exactly what the officers were doing. Number five, Floyd's autopsy revealed a potentially lethal concoction of drugs, not just a potential lethal dose of fentanyl, but also methamphetamine. Together with his history of drug abuse and two serious heart conditions, Floyd's condition was exceptionally and unusually fragile. While the medical examiner added that the, quote, restraint played a role in his death, this will be a huge stretch for, quote, proof beyond reasonable doubt, considering that the officers were following department protocol. Six, Chauvin's neck restraint was highly unlikely to have exerted a dangerous amount of force on Floyd's neck. Quote, Floyd is shown on video able to lift his head and neck, and a robust study on double knee restraints showed a median force exertion of approximately 105 pounds. The autopsy showed no strangulation and no asphyxiation, and there have been a string of rednecks showing the tactic on each other in recent weeks. While the video looks awful, it is likely that the officers were doing all they could, fearing the 6'6" Floyd would begin fighting again and guaranteeing his death of excited delirium. The scandal in this case is not the neck restraint or racism, but rather why the politicians and Minneapolis leader withheld all this information. And the question will be, if they would have given out the information to the public, would the riots have happened? Would the buildings have burned? Would the defunding efforts be taking place all across the profession? Well, we can only begin to wonder what was in the minds of these cowardly politicians. We wonder what will happen to this country when the acquittals come, something that any expert with the above information will tell you is highly likely. Is this all a setup? Why the lies? Why the omissions? Why the secrecy? If the next thing you hear is for justice, we need a speedy trial to be over by November 3rd, 2020, then you will know exactly why all this happened, and you will know exactly who to blame, and it's not the cops trying to do their job. It's the politicians trying to ensure their power reigns. So that's the first article, right? And when you read it, the things that jump out at you are George Floyd's physical and psychological distress. Number two, the Minneapolis Police Department allowed that neck restraint. So according to their own policies, Derek Chauvin wasn't doing anything wrong. In fact, the officers recognized that George Floyd was suffering from a condition known as excited delirium. Now, I had never heard that until I read this. A condition which the department considers an extreme threat to both the officers and the suspect, and it goes on to talk about what excited delirium is and how dangerous it is for both the officers and the suspect. And it says that, according to the white paper, the officers were doing exactly what they were supposed to do. So, using an accepted restraining technique, recognizing that he had some kind of overdose going on, and, oh, by the way, he's 6'6". And then the autopsy revealing that he doesn't die of asphyxiation. So, you read that, and I read that, and I was like, holy shit. So that was the basis of the motion to acquit. And I was like, wow, that's stunning. That's absolutely stunning. What the hell's going to happen when that happens? Now, I think most people, when they watched that, they thought, yeah, those guys are overcharging that, and yikes. But then you read that, and you can just see it. The experts that are going to go up, you know, on and take the stand and say, no, that's absolutely, yeah, this is what this condition is. Yeah, he was absolutely in that condition. Yes, the officers recognize it. Yes, this is the acceptable procedure for that. And no, that knee to the neck did not kill him. And I'm sitting there reading this going, oh, shit. And then I think, how did these facts not get reported, right? And, you know, so what's the answer to that? Are news outlets afraid of the truth? Now, mind you, those are all facts, right? That knee, that was an approved policy in the city of Minneapolis. Excited delirium, that's something that cops deal with. That's a fact. The autopsy, right? That's simply a fact as it was, you know, as it was found, the findings of the medical examiner. And so it's kind of like the same, that there's no like hard questions that ask when athletes go off on their little rants by sports reporters. Why is that? Why don't they ask, like, well, have you seen this? Have you seen this? What's your opinion on this? You know, there is no pushback. So it's, I don't know, it's the nation is bought into a narrative based on a powerful video, and it's like there's no scrutiny. And then there's a whole series of deductions based on the video that aren't true, but that's the narrative. And if you push back and you say, yeah, but the autopsy says this, yeah, but this, you know, it's like you'll do so at the peril of your own professional existence. You'll be counseled along with everybody else. So, I mean, we talked about this before, but when you have a media that doesn't report the truth, scary stuff. Now, here's the other part of this. And I said this last week relative to what happened in Kenosha. Why did it take 3 days to report something they knew within an hour, within minutes of the incident? And that is, there's a knife on the floorboard of that car. So in a day and age when cities burn, isn't it important to the public interest that information gets out if that's a fact in the case? I think they are. Now, this is the article they wrote called "The Mayor Knew." Now, again, this kind of just flowed into my radar based on a headline I'd seen and a conversation I'd had. So here's the article, and the date on the article is June 3rd. So here I am enjoying retirement in an undisclosed, secluded location. Life has been good. A few decades of the greatest job anyone could ask for, and several years of getting to write my thoughts here on Law Officer. And I've been gone a while, but what I have seen in the last week has bothered me to the core. Yes, like every American, I'm horrified at the video that we have all seen out of many hopelessness. Just as horrified at the murder of Justine Diamond in 2017 in the same rat-infested city known as Democrat Alley. But strangely, the death of George Floyd is different. Now, Justine Diamond is an Australian woman who called the police because she heard what she thought was a sexual assault going on in the alley behind her home. When the cops showed up, I'll let him explain the Justine Diamond thing. You see, there is a difference. There was little to debate in a Diamond murder. She called 911 for a disturbance, and when the cops showed up, she approached the car to point out the disturbance, and that is when Mohammed Noor, a Somali American, reached from the passenger side and shot her dead. So let me explain that. Mohammed Noor was a police officer in Minneapolis. He was fairly new to being a police officer. He's sitting in the passenger side of the police car, right, riding along with his partner. As she approaches his partner from his partner's window, Noor pulls his pistol, shoots in front of his partner, and kills her. The article goes on. There was no struggle, no words, and absolutely no chance for her. Oddly, there were no riots in this city, and her name was barely mentioned across the country. The incident came and went, and Noor sits in prison. Noor was a poster child for inclusion and diversity in many hopelessness. So much so, he didn't even go through the regular police academy. It was an accelerated academy, we were told, all in the name of diversity. Just like that, one of these details were told. Just like that incident, none of these details were told to the public until the media found them out. And the case of George Floyd is no different, with just one exception. The media refuses to find it out. In many hopelessness, Mayor Jacob Frey stood behind the podium last Tuesday and emotionally told us about the murder of George Floyd. He knew everything, but he wasn't going to tell you. He knew that the neck restraint that the mini hopelessness officer used was a department-approved tactic. That's right. Mayor Jacob Frey knew that the very technique used by the officer was the exact same one that is trained at the agency and written right in their policy manual as an approved non-lethal defensive tactic. Frey also knew that the autopsy said, and he didn't mention it. He knew the medical examiner said Floyd had no trauma on his body. He said he did not die from strangulation and did not die of asphyxiation. The mayor knew that. The report said he died from drugs in his system along with a pre-existing heart condition combined with hypertension. The mayor also knew that the body camera footage showed what the body camera showed. Footage, by the way, that is yet to be released. He knew it showed a struggle with Floyd. He knew it showed Floyd's refusal to get into the police car. He knew it showed Floyd fighting and struggling once he got in the police car, and he knew that Floyd was exhibiting signs of a condition called excited delirium. He not only knew this, but until now has refused to release the video, an issue we asked him about on Twitter, to which he blocked us. Does anyone really believe that if the video showed a compliant Floyd, that we would not have seen it a week ago? Mind you, this is the first week of June. The mayor also knew that the officers recognized excited delirium long before the video seen around the world would occur. He knew the paramedics were called to the scene long before Floyd was placed on the ground, and he knew this on Tuesday. And if Mayor Frey is any kind of leader, he would have asked questions to know even more on Tuesday. He would have known that the American College of Emergency Physicians white paper report on excited delirium says that there is no amount of de-escalation that can be done to change the outcome of excited delirium. He would know that the report gives two demands to law enforcement when they recognize this deadly phenomenon: physical restraint and subdue the subject, and implement emergency sedation. The mayor knew Tuesday that the officers had done just that. They had called paramedics and restrained the subject. This, according to the report, is the only means to, quote, slow the death of an individual suffering from excited delirium. You see, Mayor Jacob Frey knew all of this, and he was hoping you would never know it. But since Al Gore invented the internet, it's not possible to hide it, and politicians like Jacob Frey must hate that. You see, he stood there on Tuesday knowing all of this and told you a tale. He said, this is simple. Racist cops murdered a man on camera. That is, a black cop, a Hispanic cop, Asian cop, and a white cop made a conscious decision in front of a large crowd with cameras to lay down a man on the street, murder him by choking him to death. In the back of the neck, in parentheses. Frey has convinced hundreds of millions of people that a bunch of murderous racists did this, and for this they should all be outraged. An outrage that has taken its toll in every major American city. Frey knew there was body camera footage that answered some of the questions we all had about the video. He knew there was a policy with the mini hopelessness police department that authorized the neck restraint. He knew it all, but Mayor Jacob Frey didn't tell you. Instead, he chose to stoke the flames of racism and murderous cops. It was the easy play. Rather than give America a detailed informational look at what happened from the beginning of the encounter to the fateful end, he couched all of this as nothing but murderous racist cops and a sign of institutional racism throughout American policing. Rather than tell us the truth, he decided to fan the flames of hate against law enforcement and tell the world on Tuesday that if Floyd would have been white, this would not have happened. Of course he knows that data. He knows that for the last 5 years, according to the Washington Post police shooting database, it is not blacks shot the most armed or unarmed by law enforcement, but rather whites. That's right. When it comes to unarmed individuals shot by the police, it is 3% of all whites shot versus 2% of all blacks. A statistic LeBron James must not care about, since according to him, blacks are being hunted every day. And then he ends like this. But Frey wasn't going to tell you that. He wasn't going to tell you that the officers recognized the phenomenon, excited delirium, that can be tragic if not dealt with quickly. And he wasn't going to tell you that the very tactic he railed against was approved by department policy. And he certainly wasn't going to tell you that the medical examiner found no strangulation and no signs of trauma on Mr. Floyd. That brings us to one last question. I have to ask that if Frey would have been honest and transparent, as every good Democrat loves to spout about, would we be picking up the rubble today across America and preparing to fight with anarchists tonight? Despite the lies and misinformation, the justice system works in a very strange way. Rather than emotions and half-truth, Right, when it comes to the court of law, facts are presented. And while I quit predicting what a jury would do after O.J. Simpson was acquitted, I wonder what a jury will think when they see body camera footage of officers observing and discussing excited delirium and making a decision to do the only thing that can be done to slow the onset of death: subdue the individual and call paramedics. What will that jury think of Jacob Fry when they hear the facts that politicians held back from the public? What will America think when this information is revealed and wonder why their cities burned for what numerous experts will testify as a medical condition brought on by drug use, high heart rate, and a struggle? As I watch cities burn for the fourth night, I can't help but think that we are being played, but the difference is in this game is that it's deadly, and Americans are being put at risk, and for that, politicians have done much more damage than any single police officer could ever do. So I read that, and I was like, holy shit, man. Now, so after you read it, you're like, all right, hold on. What did I just read? Certainly it's a police officer's perspective. But it emanates from the autopsy. The state's autopsy. And in the first article, when you read the data points, right, that will be admitted and testified to in a court of law, there's nothing in there that supports a murder charge. But the nation's convinced that's exactly what they saw on TV. So this collision of a media that doesn't tell us the truth with mayors who allow cities to burn, and with social media, right? And that social media is a place where people get their news now. It does not bode well. It does not bode well for, you know, for the democracy. I mean, and so anyway, I thought I'd share that with you. Again, it started with, just a headline that said, you know, Derek Chauvin's attorney, you know, files a motion to dismiss the case, and that was late on Friday. But I was working; I didn't really take a look at it. And then had a conversation, and so then I went looking for the article. As I read the article, I ran across this. And then you read, you know, that the knee to the neck is an acceptable defensive tactic for the military police department, for the Minneapolis police department. And you're like, okay. And then you read then you see the autopsy, the bullets from the autopsy. Fentanyl, methamphetamines. And then you hear the police talking about this condition known as excited delirium. Now, they're not medical doctors. And so even if they're wrong about their diagnosis of excited delirium, if that's what guides their actions, and their actions are all sanctioned by the Minneapolis Police Department, what would you convict them of when the autopsy says he didn't die of asphyxiation? So, yeah. Anyway, I thought I'd share that with you. And I'll put the you can find those articles on lawofficer.com. And you know, I wasn't paying too much attention to the news over the weekend, but I did see somebody got shot, and what does the mayor of Portland think that he's doing on a nightly basis, and when do you put an end to this? This stuff's been going on in Portland, you know, forever. I mean, don't the citizens of Portland deserve to be able to roll around their own town and not have to fear for this stuff on a nightly basis? So, anyway, I don't know. It's just pretty disturbing. You read an article like that discusses the facts of the case, and you're like, man. And then the political aspect of being a cop and watching this. Now, cops would know about excited delirium. They would know that that neck hold, right, is acceptable or not in whatever police officer, in whatever police department they work in. And they would say, yeah, when you have a suspect like that, then this is what you do. And then I would even say it also explains why Chauvin probably disregards what they were saying about, you know, hey, get off him. In that he knows he's a big dude, and if he gets off him and he shakes it off and he gets up, now they're going to fight again. You can at least hear his attorneys arguing that. So, no conviction for murder. What's going to be the reaction to the nation, right, that doesn't know and their Twitter feeds won't give them any of these facts? And they won't care about them because they know the truth. Not going to be good. Not going to be good. So, anyway, on the last day of August, I thought I'd share that with you. Pretty disturbing story. Alex Holling's going to join us here in about 30 minutes. We'll check some news headlines. And then after I get done with this, we had Colleen's birthday last night. Yeah, I mean, good God. She got all kinds of presents. I bought her Joe a few years ago, so I'm off the hook for a while. Yeah, Joe was not a cheap dog. Colleen, 17 years old. Next year, it's official. She goes to the same jail as the rest of us. 18. So, yeah, school has started, but not in attendance. Although there are schools around the country that kids are going back. So what do they do when kids start getting sick? What do? They send everybody home? Then I saw a story today about kids who live in smaller towns and rural communities where, you know, the internet access isn't that good. And so they can't Zoom, they can't do that. Farm kids, right, depending on their internet access, may or may not be able to participate in school. So are we going to do this forever? Anyhow, so let me read you an email. In spite of your lousy reading this morning, pretty stunning couple of articles. I was waiting to blow them off with, some reactionary piece that some law officers wrote, but I found myself agreeing with the factual nature of what the article says. And you're right, most disturbing is that will come as a stunning surprise to the nation if it ever hears it. More than likely they won't, because of their source of news gathering these days. And the verdicts will be stunning and will spawn violence. And judging from the way the mayors around the country handle that, you will see more American cities go up in flames. I guess my advice, if you own a business in any part of any inner city, and I don't mean the poor inner city, I mean the nicer part of the inner city, invest in a security system, something that drops steel barriers on your windows and your front door. You will save yourself a lot of money in the end, because this will not be pretty. It might be Monday, Mac. That may be the source of your reading issue. I'm thinking it is. It's Monday. Haven't done this for 2 days, so my reading sucks. Yeah, I mean, what do you say? What do you say? So, lawofficer.com. And the first article is called The Acquittal of Derek Chauvin. And the second article is called, that's equally possible, well, possibly more disturbing, is The Mayor Knew It. It's pretty amazing stuff. And that's why the thing in Kenosha last week, it's, look, if and again, and the story now is that, you know, those cops had every you know, and you got LeBron James saying stuff like this: if you tell me that there was no other option than to shoot this guy, you're crazy. It's like, well, wait a minute. Can we run down the facts of the case? And the answer is no. None of that matters. It's just the edited video. And so you have to ask yourself, right, is all of that stuff deliberately subordinated, deliberately omitted because this movement is really important? So the facts really don't matter. We'll cherry pick the facts, and that's what matters. Because the movement is most important. Let me tell you, when the truth isn't important, I don't know, a whole lot of good things that come out of that. So, good morning to you on a Monday. Yeah, that's not the way I thought. Well, maybe I shouldn't talk about that, right? Nobody wants to talk about that. But again, I think what you're talking about is the truth. Right? That's, and again, where does that truth come from? It comes from the Minneapolis Police Department's right manual. That truth comes from the results of Mr. Floyd's autopsy. That's where that stuff comes from. I mean, those are just things that are. So it's not like, oh, this guy's pulling shit out of his ass. No, that autopsy is a legal document. That manual is a legal document. Written, signed, and approved, and all of it. So, I don't know. I was talking to Colleen about it. And she said, let's not talk about it. It'll upset people. I said, okay. So, anyhow. Good morning to you on a Monday, the last day of August. United States Marine Corps Band makes it official. Dedicated that more of our news outlets find a way to get interested in the truth. I don't see it happening. And I think we need news organizations and reporters, you know, before they go off screaming and yelling, to report the story, the whole story. But tough to do in the whole cancel culture if you want to keep your job, right? And so do you skew your news reporting because you don't want to be canceled? And maybe you can only do that if you can't be canceled, which means you're like really senior, really old, right? Already got your retirement. Everybody else who can be canceled, does it not impact them? That you might lose your job if you report that. So here's the hope that at some point, you know, because you can see this, and over the weekend, now you're starting to see, you know, armed groups clashing in America's streets. Is that where this all headed? Because we don't have adults that will, we don't have a media that reports the truth. We don't have politicians that will tell the truth. It's all this big fucking game of chicken being played for political power. Pretty disgusting, pretty disheartening. So here's to the hope that, you know, people understand what their jobs are and they do them in a democracy. Because if you don't, it imperils a democracy.
We have fought in every fight, and we're good to go. and say what you think. And you don't say it honestly and bluntly.
Once you're out of the Corps, you know, it's your responsibility to live your life in a way that would honor those that were with you and died. I mean, don't waste your life. Goodness, do something meaningful and don't be going out there saying, look, oh, woe is me, I'm a poor veteran or I'm a disabled veteran. Well, yeah, I am a disabled veteran. But, you know, we can't have that kind of attitude. We've got to show people that, hey, we care about our country. We care about what happens to everyone. Marine Corps changed me. It made me a better man, but I don't know a Marine that wouldn't tell you the same thing, Mike.
We just have to execute. We are executing every day, and Sergeant Major, I'm very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake to learn. We don't want to lose to learn. We cannot lose. We have to go fight. We got to do what these Marines did 75 years ago. Persevere against difficult, challenging conditions and odds and win. You got to win.
Time for us to check the weather here on a Monday. September. Wow. Currently, it is raining in 76 in Quantico. Been a while since that's happened. Why am I hearing... Yeah, advertisements. Let's see, down the coast, partly sunny in 86 at Camp Lejeune. Out in 29 Palms, mercifully, sunny in 83 in 29 Palms. It is dark cloudy in, no, it's cloudy in 69 at Camp Pendleton. It's dark cloudy in 74 at Camp Smith in Hawaii. In Okinawa, raining, 6 weather alerts in 81, along with being dark in Okinawa. So, to Okinawa we go. Let's see. There's a storm surge warning in effect. There's a flood warning in effect. There's a windstorm warning in effect. High wave warning in effect. Thunderstorm advisory in effect. Heavy rainfall advisory in effect. So that as, what is it? Tropical storm, whatever, hits Okinawa. So, yeah, Okinawa in the weather news, if you haven't checked it out. If you're not following your weather in the Western Pacific. It, further west in Afghanistan, evening, in 84 degrees under clear skies, so beautiful night in Afghanistan. And late in the afternoon in Iraq, mostly sunny and 108. Currently at the home of All Marine Radio, the Costa Mesa Newport Beach area of Southern California. Cloudy and 67 degrees in Costa Mesa. So that is a look at your weather. We'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll check news headlines. And then Alex Holland is going to join us right here on a Monday edition, the last one in August of All Marine Radio. Don't touch that dial.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Super 5 Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Super 5 Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SimpliFund.org.
We all have the ability to touch the lives of those around us. Moms, dads, neighbors, teachers, friends. These are the people who are always there to listen when we need to talk. Though their actions may not always be monumental, they are always felt. To someone going through a difficult time, a text, a call, or a visit can mean so much. Reach out to the veterans in your life today. Let them know they're not alone. One simple act can make all the difference. That's the power of one. If you're a veteran in crisis or know one who is, visit VeteransCrisisLine.net for free 24/7 confidential support. Or call 1-800-273-8255 and press 1.
I'm good, but I have a story and I don't know where to start.
I'm good, but I feel alone in the crowd.
I'm good. Past keeps coming back.
When the service member or veteran in your life says,
I'm good.
Are you really listening?
I'm good, but I can't get out of bed.
I'm good, but I can't sleep.
I'm good, but I feel overwhelmed.
I'm good, but I don't feel safe.
I'm good, but I still have nightmares.
I'm good,
but I don't need any help.
I'm good, but I don't feel anything anymore.
I'm good, but I can't live like this anymore.
I'm really not so good. Are you ready to listen?
Suicide prevention is everyone's responsibility. Listen to the veteran or service member in your life. If you are in crisis or know someone who is, call the Veterans Crisis Line and Military Crisis Line at 1-800-273-8255 and press 1 for free 24/7 confidential support.
Hi, I'm Colleen McNamara, and you're listening to My Dad on All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
Another email. Mac, pretty sad when it takes our legal system to tell the truth because our media won't. I don't know if there's a better encapsulation of what we just talked about. The media is supposed to be this ruthless thing that gets to the truth in all cases. And it's no longer that. So, where does all that go? No place good. I think I could tell you that, but well said. Let me write that down. When the legal system has to tell the truth because the media won't. What does it say about us? Interesting stuff. All right, we'll check a few news headlines here. And we'll get rid of B.B. King and U2 and all that. Top stories in Stars and Stripes. A crash involving a U.S. armored vehicle kills 4 South Koreans, prompts military to suspend training near Korean ranges. And it looks like a version of the M113. Near Camp Humphreys in South Korea, a crash involving a U.S. military vehicle, and again, it's an armored track vehicle, killed 4 South Koreans, prompting U.S. forces to temporarily suspend training in the area. An SUV carrying 4 civilians rear-ended the armored personnel carrier, a track vehicle, around 9:30 p.m. Sunday near the Rodriguez Log Fire Complex in the city of Pochin, local police and fire officials say. 4 civilians were pronounced dead at the scene. 2 soldiers in the military vehicle were not seriously injured. One was taken to a nearby hospital for evaluation, but was cleared and released back to his unit, according to the 2nd Infantry Division. So, a civilian vehicle rear ends a military vehicle. I would simply just say, at least it wasn't, military people getting blamed for this. Next headline, U.S. military bases in Okinawa batten down ahead of a powerful Typhoon Masek. Let's see. U.S. military base on Okinawa completed preparations Monday for Typhoon Masek, a Category 4 storm expected to pass within 70 miles of Kadena Air Base on Tuesday morning, according to military spokespeople. Maintenance and service personnel finishing policing base and unit facilities, boarding up buildings, tied down loose equipment, and deployed sandbags to combat flooding, Marine Corps and Air Force officials said. Activities were postponed or canceled. The typhoon is expected to pass within 64 miles southwest of Kadena at 5 a.m. on Tuesday, according to the 18th Fighter Wing Weather. According to the 18th Wing Weather Flight, sustained winds could exceed 138 miles an hour with gusts as high as 167 miles an hour. That's windy. I've seen 100 miles an hour straight line winds. That was amazing. Yeah, that was straight up amazing. So that in the news today. The Wall Street Journal, a couple headlines from the Wall Street Journal. Berkshire Hathaway buys stakes in 5 Japanese corporations. So when you're talking about that means there's not a whole lot of big news. Right? Big news. TikTok deal talks are slowed over new China rules. that in the news. So, again, not too much hard news from there. The biggest news came over the weekend with demonstrations in Portland and somebody being shot and killed there. From USNI News, Fleet and Marine Amphibious Readiness Group tracker, the Carl Vinson is off the coast of Seattle en route to San Diego. The Wasp is off the coast of Virginia. The Tripoli is off the coast of South America down by the, what is that, Cape of Fear, Cape of Hope, Good Hope, down at the Southern Horn. The Nimitz is just south of the North Arabian Sea. USS America is at sea off the off of Okinawa, I would think steaming north to get away from the typhoon. The Ronald Reagan is in the western part of the Pacific Ocean, north of the Philippines. I would think it would be moving out of that area. And the USS Essex and its group is in the central Pacific. So that's your fleet tracker. The top story in Marine Corps Times will probably be something from last week because there hasn't been a bunch of breaking news. And that is, in fact, the case. Pictures of the Secretary of Defense in Palau, where the Chinese, and again, Grant Newsham, making us smart about this over the course of the last few years. The Chinese with loans going into these islands in an effort to run or at least neutralize American power in the Pacific. Some coming in the form of capitalism, some coming from the form of military power, but Chinese looking to do that. And then top five stories in Early Bird, and then we'll get Alex on, are as follows. One, this is from Military Times. As Trump's popularity slips in the latest Military Times poll, more troops say they'll vote for Biden. Number two, Iraq war hero Alwyn Cash should get a Medal of Honor, according to the Secretary of Defense. For years, military advocates have pointed to the heroic death of Sergeant First Class Alwyn Cash and the subsequent DOD decision not to award him the Medal of Honor as proof that the entire military medal system needs a dramatic overhaul. I've never heard this story. Now, 15 years after Cash died from suffering fatal injuries while trying to rescue his fellow soldiers from a burning Bradley fighting vehicle in Iraq, the Pentagon appears poised to grant him the highest military honor and make him the first African-American to receive the award for actions in the most recent wars. On Friday, a group of House lawmakers announced that Secretary of Defense Mark Esper had informed him of his intent to recommend the Medal of Honor for Cash, a Florida native who served in the first Gulf War and two subsequent tours in Iraq before his death in 2005. He was posthumously awarded the Silver Star for his repeated rescue attempts, which resulted in second-degree burns over 75% of his body. Witnesses said that even as the heat burned his uniform and body armor off him, Cash continued to ignore the pain to pull his men out of the fire. At the time of the Silver Star Award, Army officials said that even though the vehicle was set ablaze by a roadside bomb, Cash's actions did not merit Medal of Honor because the soldiers were not in active combat. However, follow-on investigations found the initial reports of the attack left out enemy gunfire, which raked the ground around Cash throughout his rescue attempts. After giving the nomination careful consideration, I agree that Sergeant First Class Cash's actions merit award of the Medal of Honor, Esper wrote in a letter to lawmakers. If he so chooses, I will provide my endorsement to the president. Before that can occur, however, Congress must pass new legislation extending the time frame for upgrading the military honors. Under current law, those actions must take place within 5 years of the Heroic Act, a deadline which passed nearly a decade ago. So that is the hang-up. Number three, U.S. plans further troop reductions in Iraq by November. Current troop strength at 5,200. According to the president, about 1,700 more will come home, leaving 3,500 at the time of the election. Story number four, F-22s intercept six Russian aircraft near Alaska, and Russian fighters intercept B-52s over the Black Sea. Number five, top general says no role for military in presidential votes. So this is after a couple of stories. This is General Milley. The comments from General Mark Milley, Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, underscore the extraordinary political environment in the United States, where the President has declared without evidence that the expected surge in mail-in votes will make the vote inaccurate and fraudulent, and has suggested he might not accept the election if he loses. Milley wrote the following in his response. I deeply believe in the principle of an apolitical U.S. military. In the event of a dispute over some aspect of the election, by law, U.S. courts and U.S. Congress are required to resolve any disputes, not the U.S. military. I foresee no role in U.S. armed forces in the process. So, all right, we'll take a break. We'll get Alex Hollings on next. Have a conversation with him. Chris Woodbridge is going to join us, the editor of the Gazette this week. Major Lauren Serrano. You'll hear a very interesting conversation with her this week as well, and then the Mensa brothers. So don't touch that dial. More Bomberman Radio coming up next.